What we are going to talk about today is the totalitarian revolution in ancient Rome that led to the suicide of the Roman Republic and the transition to the Roman Empire. Part of the problem in understanding ancient history is the effort by political forces in the modern West to reinterpret and sugarcoat aspects of ancient history to prop up their own political situation. The Roman Republic was a very brutal affair. It was a ruthless militarist state that set up the largest slave trade in the ancient world. As it evolved, it became mired in increasingly bloody aspects of class warfare. So it was really not all that great a happy situation. It also committed one of the most appalling war crimes in the ancient world, the destruction of Carthage. We are not going to judge, obviously, the whole Roman Republic in this lecture. What we're talking about is how it committed suicide. And the key point about it committing suicide is the bloody class warfare inside the Roman Republic itself. We are going to concentrate on the final years of the Republic, where Caesar eventually ended up overthrowing the whole system. It is important to understand that Caesar was a man of the political left. He was sort of the Bernie Sanders of the late Republic. He's often portrayed as a man of the right in U.S. histories of Rome. This is absolutely, totally wrong. The opponents of Caesar, people such as Pompey and Cicero, could be compared to the modern plutocrats in today's America, the people who are running the show in this economy that is so heavily oriented towards the welfare of the 1% at the top, while pretending to represent democracy and spouting out all sorts of wonderful statements of the plutocratically financed liberal establishment and so on and so forth. So there is a very important analogy in the situation. Now, we're not going to go into all the ins and outs and all the bloody different kinds of class warfare that took place, but we are going to move towards the end game here, where the triumvirate, it was called, between Pompey, Crassus, and Caesar emerged. Crassus was a kind of George Soros-type character, combination Boss Tweed. We don't mean to say Boss George Soros has done some positive things, so we don't want to suggest he was exactly like Crassus, but there is a similarity between a very wealthy business tycoon who bought huge levels of interest in ancient Rome. And the three of these people created a very unstable three-man government. Caesar was seen by people such as Cicero as the new Marius, Marius being the leader of the populist left-wing forces in Roman history. That's where he came about. Now, Caesar went off to Gaul, where he won a series of very bloody but spectacular military victories and became more and more popular with the Roman people. Crassus, sort of like today's liberal Democrats who want to prove they're tough on defense, decided he was going to prove he was tough with Parthia and launched a great military campaign to seize part of Parthia. You need to understand that the wealth in the ancient world was in the East. It wasn't in Rome. The wealth was in the East. So this was a very logical thing to do. And the great dream of all the Roman Roman leaders was to, in the end, recreate the empire of Alexander, knock out Parthia, and create an empire that would stretch from the Atlantic all the way to the Indus in India. So Crassus a sort of modern-day Hillary Clinton, decided he was going to get tough with the Parthians and prove he was a tough guy. Unfortunately, like Hillary Clinton, he was also very incompetent, and he didn't really do a very good job and ended up leading his army into a military disaster, which caused him to end up getting killed. So the big plutocratic money guy was removed from the three-person Roman leadership system, which left Pompey and Caesar. The geniuses in the plutocratic elite came up with a plan to get rid of Caesar. As Caesar returned from his hugely popular conquest of Gaul, they requested that he give up his military command. Again, the modern Western interpretations of the whole situation are ridiculously biased and nonsensical. What this was basically a death sentence for Caesar, because Caesar had no illusions about the kind of people he was dealing with. If he gave up his army, he was going to end up being executed by Pompey and his plutocratic buddies. And it also shows the stupidity of the plutocratic elite in ancient Rome to make that offer. We'll never know, but Caesar would probably have been willing to work something out when he got back to Rome. But these geniuses came up with the idea that they could sort of order him about and would eventually order him basically to commit suicide. Caesar didn't really go for that idea. He didn't really go for the idea of getting executed. He thought that was not so good. And so he was basically forced into attacking the Roman state, the so-called crossing of the Rubicon River, with his army to take on Pompey. And that was basically the beginning of the end of the Roman Republic. Pompey and his plutocratic buddies fled town. Caesar came down and took over Rome. Caesar launched what in effect was a direct assault on the structure of the Roman Republic. While dictators had been appointed in time of war, no one before Caesar had just totally upended the whole system and appointed himself as ruler. This got a lot of people very upset. Now, Pompey fled to Egypt, and Caesar pursued him there. The Egyptian government was probably rather clever, if ruthless, and they executed Pompey and presented his head to Caesar. What followed is a very romantic, superficially romantic and colorful series of events where Caesar intrigued with one faction in the Egyptian court headed by Cleopatra to take over Egypt. Many historians have seen this as completely absurd because Caesar really needed to get back to Rome and solidify things. And we're not going to resolve this issue in this debate, but there's a certain amount of logic to what he did because Egypt was incredibly wealthy. And it was also the breadbasket in terms of food for the Roman people. Today's plutocrats have done a fairly decent job on entertaining people via the internet and the soft porn of Rupert Murdoch's TV and the other big corporate media. They've done a rather lousy job with the bread situation, relying on this toxic green revolution and stuff like that. The plutocrats, it must be said, in ancient Rome were quite a bit more efficient, and the Romans were concerned about the bread supply, which is one reason why Caesar stayed in Egypt and engaged in the war and intrigue to take over Egypt. Anyway, Caesar came back and got ready for an enormous military campaign. Again, it shows the eastern focus of Roman power to take over, reestablish the empire of Alexander. And again, people have criticized him for not staying in Rome and not obviously having better security, but that's what he set out to do. The upper classes then concocted a conspiracy to murder Caesar with themselves serving as the murderers, which is what happened. These people were really like the Keystone Cops. It's another example of the incompetent plutocrats in our time, because after they murdered Caesar, they really didn't know what to do. They were completely disorganized. And what emerged was a political civil war particularly with the popularity of Caesar and the great oration by one of his generals, Mark Antony, at his funeral, and so on and so forth. So what this led to was a civil war in which the conspirators and the upper classes ended up on the losing end due to their own incompetence and stupidity. So we're not going to go into all the ins and outs of what happened, but that's basically what happened. Mark Antony then set himself up in Egypt with Cleopatra. Now, he was then accused of trying to set up a separate state there. And again, we're not going to get into all the ins and outs of this. And Augustus Caesar, the adopted son of Caesar, was able to mobilize the Romans in the West, get himself appointed leader, a truly extraordinary figure, and basically finish off Mark Antony and Cleopatra and create a unified empire. Augustus was a very clever guy, one of the most extraordinary figures in world history, and he worked out a working relationship with the plutocrats. And what he basically did was similar to Bush and Obama today, which was to subvert the system. Caesar had tried to directly attack the system. That had turned out to be a suicide mission. What Augustus did was to basically subvert the Roman Republican system. His big slogan was the Republic Restored, and he was getting back to traditional values and so on and so on and so forth. He was also the sort of first great multimedia politician of the ancient world, who had poets cheering him on and other people like that and so on, like Virgil and so on. So anyway, he actually set in motion a legal revolution which completely destroyed the Republic, but he did so under the guise of protecting the Republic. It was one of the most brilliant moves in history and created the empire. Long story short, when he died, the empire, the Republic was dead. The empire had been created. And the interesting point is nobody ever really made any serious effort to revive the Republic because it had so completely discredited itself by its behavior. So that was the end of democracy in Rome. And it was basically, that was a very defining moment in Western history because it was such a mess that democracy basically ceased to exist in the Western world until Romantic idealists in the 18th century brought back the concept into our time. The lessons are highly relevant for today because the money lords really were not fit to rule. And the whole concept in modern America, this unholy alliance between the money lords, the liberal establishment, and this grotesque and monstrous institution of liberal imperialism that Hillary Clinton and Obama have launched, this is not a tenable situation. It's not going to work any more than Crassus's military campaign worked back in the ancient world. So the lessons are here, and the trend in America, all history, the past has lessons, but the history does not repeat itself exactly. However, we see the trend of subverting democracy in order to create an authoritarian state. That is the momentum, as we've discussed with the environmental disasters and so on of today. The transition is going to be far more bloody than it was in Rome. There's going to be a far bigger death toll. And you should read articles such as our World Future Outlook to understand that. That is the end of this lecture.